relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This episode of the America First podcast with me, Sebastian Gorka, is brought to you by Franklin Armory. Shop freedom, quality, and innovation at franklinarmory.com. Franklin Armory, we are facilitators of freedom. If you were the White House press secretary for a president, irrespective of party, I don't care whether it was a conservative, a Democrat, a libertarian, independent, from the planet Mars, it doesn't matter. And your incumbent president, well, let's just say a voicemail was left to his son, which was leaked to the media, which contradicted completely what that president had already said about his knowledge of his son's nefarious business dealings. How would you react? Let's probably say it wouldn't be like this.
Why is there a voicemail of the president talking to his son about his overseas business dealings if he's never spoken to his son about his overseas business dealings?
Well, first I'll say that what the president said stands. So if that's what the president said, that is what stands. And
he's
secondly,
a New York Times article
concerning
business dealings, and he says, "I think you're clear." How is that not him talking to his son about his overseas business dealings?
We're not, from this podium, I am not going to talk about alleged materials from the laptop.
So
I will.
Are you disputing the president's voice on the voicemail?
I am not going to talk about alleged materials on the laptop.
Are
it's
you
not
disputing
happening.
Then that it is not?
Peter, I refer you to his son's representative.
I'm just not going to talk to you about that topic from this podium. Well, let's talk to somebody who spent a lot of time at that podium during some of the toughest times in American recent history, including 9/11 and the anthrax attack. He's a good friend of this show, fellow Hungarian-American Ari Fleischer. Welcome to America First One-on-One.
Thank you. It's always good to be with you.
That's so kind. Okay, we have a big news here. You are number one in the politics section on Amazon with your brand new book. You're dueling it out with your Fox colleague, Pete Hegseth, with your book, Suppression, Deception, Snobbery, and Bias, Why the Press Gets So Much Wrong and Just Doesn't Care. That last piece of it is the most important one as far as I'm concerned. But let's dive right in here. When everybody, if they wish to, and it has nothing to do with the laptop, this is a hack of an iCloud account, Hunter Biden's account, everybody can hear the voicemail. Joe Biden left his son saying, I've seen the article coming out in the New York Times tomorrow. It's okay, you're in the clear. Shouldn't that be something that any press secretary should have something to say about, Ari?
No. Because when you're Joe Biden's press secretary, what she's really saying is, this is a topic that's off limits. It's taboo. I won't talk about it. And I know no one other than Fox News will ask me about it because all the rest of the reporters in this room are soft and easy on my boss. So therefore, I don't have to. And she gets away with it. She gave a perfect answer because she knows how the mainstream media would react.
So let's dig a little bit deeper. We've seen amazing fluctuation. People thought that our administration, the Trump administration, had a lot of revolving doors. I think the news as of yesterday, of Monday, is that the vice president's speechwriter, after just 4 months in office, has already handed in their notice and is leaving. Is something happening? Can they get away with this in perpetuity for the next 4 years? Or are you seeing a sudden crisis? We heard Jill Biden on Monday say, oh, my dear, my poor husband, so many crises. Well, isn't that the job of a president and his team to deal with crisis? You and President Bush had to deal with one of the biggest.
Yeah. You know, if the question is, can they get away with this type of personnel turnover for the next 4 years or remaining 4 years? The answer is yes, because, Sebastian, Joe Biden is not going to run for president again. Anybody who thinks after the drubbing the Democrats are about to take this November, where the Democratic Party does not want Joe Biden, an 82-year-old man, to lead them, an 80-year-old man, to lead them into the future, you're fooling yourself.
Yeah.
Joe Biden will declare in early 2023 that he is no longer a candidate. He will not run for the presidency. And then it's going to be Katie bar the door. People are going to leave the White House in droves, and new candidates are going to emerge. There'll be some 20 or 30 Democrats running. It's going to be an amazing situation. We haven't been that way in this country since Lyndon Baines Johnson in the early 1960s or mid 60s when he declared, I'm sorry, in the early 60s when he declared he would not be a candidate for the presidency in 1968.
Yeah, we will see soon enough. We have that very strange campaign trail interview when somebody asked the then candidate Biden, what will you do if you have a disagreement with your number two in office? And he actually said on camera, still gobsmacked by this, he said, oh, I'll do what I promised to do with Obama disagreement. I'll, quote, invent an ailment and I'll resign. Is that going to happen? Promised it. Let's have a look at the book. Perfect timing. You need to get yours today. I've got mine. Suppression, Deception, Snobbery, and Bias. Why the Press Gets So Much Wrong and Just Doesn't Care. Let's talk about the first word there, perhaps the most disturbing of all. Talk to us about what you've witnessed in terms of suppression of the stories in the mainstream media in the last 5 years, Ari.
Well, and frankly, let me tell you why I wrote this book. And you know, Sebastian, I call the balls and strikes as I see them. I was very much for President Trump's policies. Sometimes I would criticize his behavior and his tweets. But I try to be fair. And when I watch the mainstream media cover him, when I watch their ridiculous gobs of coverage about collusion, about the Steele dossier, how unfair and biased they were toward President Trump, I just knew I had to blow a whistle. It was wrong how the press treated him. It hurt our democracy. It hurts our country when the press becomes activists for a cause, and that cause was to get Donald Trump. And so I wrote this book, and it's examples of how the press aired stories that were deceptive, that made President Trump look bad, or Republicans look bad, or populists look bad. They suppressed news, news that would have hurt Joe Biden and helped Donald Trump, of which there was much. They suppressed it. They didn't let the American people hear about it. And the manner in which they cover the news is so snobbish. They look down at half this country. They look down at people who own guns or whose grandfather taught them to hunt or who pray every day or who might begin at conception. And so I wrote this book about the bias I see, suppression, deception, snobbery, and bias. And I blow my whistle on the mainstream media.
How bad can you compare for us comparatively when you were at that podium to the situation today? What has been the marked deterioration in the media? Was it overnight? Was it the Obama years? Is it Trump derangement syndrome? Or was it just a gradual deterioration? What, as you who've been there at the podium, what has been the evolution of this rot?
It is remarkably different. When I was there, everybody knew that the mainstream media was liberal, but they really tried not to be activists. They knew their job was to be objective and put information on the air that could claim to be objectively true. Their agenda was liberal. The things they asked about were liberal, but their reporting, they at least had the pretense of being objective. That is blown to smithereens. It was blown to smithereens in part by the internet, in part by technology, social media, the ease of giving your opinion as a reporter. It was blown to smithereens in part because reporters just are so liberal and democratic to begin with. It is also blown to smithereens because of President Trump. President Trump gave good to the press. The press decided they were going to give it good back. But worse than that, the mainstream media decided that the American people made a mistake by electing Donald Trump in 2016.
Yes.
And they were there to fix the mistake. And this is why I call them out. It is up to the people to decide who our president should be. It is never and should never be up to the media or the agenda they set. But they decided that Hillary should have been president, that Trump was dangerous, and to save our democracy, the press started to air stories that were wrong, air stories that were deceptive, and suppress news that would have put Donald Trump's actions into context or would have hurt Joe Biden. And you cannot do that. That is bad for democracy. That is dangerous to the country. It increases the polarization in this country. And my conclusion is one of the big problems in America today is the mainstream media themselves.
Yeah. The book is Suppression, Deception, Snobbery and Bias, Why the Press Gets So Much Wrong and Just Doesn't Care. It's only been out for 6 days. It is already vying with Pete Hegseth for the number one spot. Let's have a little bit of a friendly rivalry here. Pete's a friend. Let's knock him off the top. Let's have Ari up there for a few days at least. Go to Amazon right now. Follow this man at Ari Fleischer on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka. If you enjoy the show, be sure to support those that make it possible. Great truth tellers. A friend of the president, Mike Lindell, whose products have now been banned at Walmart. Yes, banned. Why? Because he's a conservative. It's an outrage. Let's have his back. Go to MyPillow.com. Use my name, Gorka, for up to 66% off or call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code Gorka. And if you love our deep dive one-on-one discussions, be sure that you never miss an episode. Go to your favorite podcast platform. Go to Spotify. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. It's free. Never miss an episode. Give us a five-star review and share the links. That's Spotify, America First. My name, Sebastian Gorka. If you haven't done so, friends, please register today for our Stand With Israel tour. 10 days later this year, we are going to the Holy Land with my good Salem colleague, Dinesh D'Souza, for the trip of a lifetime. If you've never been to Israel before, join us. If you've been already, it doesn't matter. You haven't been with me and Dinesh. We're going to walk where our Lord and Savior walked the earth. Israel have dropped their COVID restrictions. I'm not vaccinated and I'm going, so you've got no excuse. Reserve your places today. 855-565-5519 or just go to standwithisraeltour.com. That's 855-565-5519, standwithisraeltour.com. Dear friends, you know my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll get $90 off a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. They took over 2 years to develop. They're designed to wear indoor and out. I've already worn out my first pair of My Slippers, and they're made with the same amazing My Pillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue and lined with real suede. Call 800-829-8468. Use promo code Gorka for that massive discount or just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and put in the secret code Gorka. This offer won't last long. You won't regret it. They are the best slippers I have ever owned. And $90 off MyPillow.com. Do it today. Promo code Gorka. Ari, I have to... I've said it many, many, many times before when you've been on the show just for a few segments, but I want to say it again now that we have a longer opportunity to discuss your new book. You are a straight shooter. You do call balls and strikes, and you have one of the most, you know, honest Twitter channels out there. Let's talk about what you saw in terms of the four-year reaction to President Trump, which hasn't diminished in the last year. I recall a month before the election in 2015, the New York Times, in this quote-unquote scientific poll, said Hillary has a 92% chance of winning. And then on the night of the election, the Huffington Post, I've saved the tweet because I think I need to get it framed. On the night of the election, the Huffington Post said something to the equivalence of Hillary has a 96% chance of winning and Donald Trump is a 2.3% chance of winning. That's on the night of the election. So here's my honest question to you. What are the dynamics? How do people who are supposed to, for a living, process information get it so stinking wrong that 64 million Americans chose the other person, not Hillary? Do they really just sit in their cocktail parties at Georgetown and just talk to fellow Democrats? How do they get it so wrong again and again and again, Ari?
Sebastian, twice I was invited by the Columbia Journalism School to go to their classes and meet with young reporters. And both times I did it, I asked them, in the previous presidential election, who did you vote for, Democrat or Republican? 24-0 was the count, Democrat to Republican.
Yeah.
The problem with newsrooms is, and it's original sin, that my first chapter in the book is called Original Sin. They consist of too many people who drink alike, talk alike, act alike, think alike. They cannot understand people, Sebastian, who pray every day. They have a hard time understanding people who were raised with weapons in their homes or whose grandfather took them out hunting. They don't understand people. They look down on people who think life begins at conception. So when you are surrounded by everybody who thinks the way you do, has disdain for people who think otherwise, you minimize the otherwise. You think those people, who could be those people? And you miss the news. You miss the story. You live in your own bubble. And I lament it. I decry it in my book. It is journalism's original sin, and it's why they're so badly out of touch and didn't see Trump's victory coming. They should have been able to see it. They should have been able to say something is amiss in the country. There are too many blue-collar workers who feel aggravated, who think the economy is bad, who've lost their jobs to China or Mexico. Why couldn't they be in touch? So one of the things I found in this book, a Pew study that shows the only group of Americans who say the press understands them are college-educated Democrats. That's it. If you're a Democrat with just a high school degree, you told Pew, the press doesn't understand me. Independents, high school or college, press doesn't understand me. Republicans, of course, say that about the press. The press has driven itself into a little narrow ideological cultural cul-de-sac where they can only relate to themselves, and that's killing good journalism.
Now, I don't want to make excuses for these people because they're persistently showing that they are biased, but talk to us a little bit about the dynamics of what has changed in media since you were at that podium. You know, 20 years ago, there was still media. You didn't have to look hard for real journalists. But I think the impact of social media, the impact of the internet meant that the old school journalists, people like you and I know, you know, the rich minuters of the world who'd have expense accounts, would fly across Africa, tracking down Al-Qaeda terrorists, interviewing them, doing a 5,000-word multi-piece, you know, expose in the Wall Street Journal. That doesn't happen anymore. I mean, that's dead, that's buried, that's gone. Instead, the 23-year-old graduate from, you know, the journalism school at Columbia is given a laptop and a Google account, and they are labeled a journalist. And the emphasis is on clicks, on advertising clicks, and getting the story first, not getting the right story. I know it's a little bit of an exaggeration, but has the change in the industry and the mechanics of information also impacted what the media represents today?
Well, I think all you have to do is look at CNN.
Yeah.
And you see that their daytime reporters and anchors have been licensed to become advocates, activists. So much of what they say on the air is not the voice of an objective, neutral reporter. And it's not just the 23-year-olds. It's the 40-year-olds, the 50-year-olds. It's the anchors. They have become, with the permission of the former head of CNN, an activist determined to take Donald Trump down. And again, it's why I wrote my book. I spent a lot of time watching CNN to write this book. There's a chapter about CNN in the book. The book actually begins with a Don Lemon episode where he's interviewing two guests who are both anti-Trump guests. They are mocking derisively Trump voters, not just Trump, but people who are for Donald Trump. They're laughing at them. They talk with disdain about them. They call them rubes. They call them basically people to be held in disdain. And one of them puts on a fake Southern accent and pretends he's a Trump supporter. And the other just, they belt back and forth, mocking Trump voters. Don Lemon, the anchor from CNN, is laughing his head off. He bends over and starts wiping a tear from his eye. He was crying, laughing so hard. And then he says, "Thank you. I needed that." I don't understand in what world CNN thinks this is good for the country or good for journalism to mock half the country. And when you're a conservative, a populist, if you see this, all you say is, these people hate me.
Yeah.
These people don't understand me. And it polarizes. This is what polarizes America. So the problem really is when newsrooms say your job is not just to tell the news fairly, factually, and accurately down the middle. Your job is to play a role and give the public what their opinion should be. This is destroying journalism.
Yeah. First, it was the deplorables comment. Then came Ultra MAGA. And now it's actually laughing actively at half the nation. If you stand for America First and America's values, then don't go any further than our website, the Seb Gorka store. Everything is made in America. Nothing is made in China. If you want your Let's Go Brandon gear, if you want your Ultra MAGA t-shirt, one of our hottest selling items, then get yours today. Go to sebgorkastore.com. That's SEBGORKA store.com. Don't buy that Chinese garbage at Amazon. Get the real deal. That's sebgorkastore.com. So, Ari, right after the election, the publisher of the New York Times held an all-hands staff meeting, and it was, you know, the content was leaked, and allegedly he said, yeah, I think we got something wrong there with regards to Hillary. We might have to change our practices, be a little bit more open, hire other people. Of course, none of that happened. And that's how we get cuts like this from Katie Turr just this weekend. This is 5 years later. Play cut.
There was just a Gallup poll out today that shows that the trust in media, newspapers and television is, you know, hitting an all-time low. People don't trust us. They don't believe us. And it makes me wonder if this job, as I'm currently doing it, is effective, but if it's doing more harm than good.
I mean, I could laugh, you know, grab my belly and just go, you know, like a big Santa Claus laugh there. But I mean, seriously, the lack of, I wonder 6 years later why we are hated so much. That's like a comedy skit from when SNL was good, Ari, no?
It's not the job that's the problem. The job of journalism is noble and necessary. It's the way they're doing the job.
Right.
They're doing the job with putting their finger on the scale. They're putting their whole writing hand on the scale, and some of them put their whole bodies on the scale. It's the bias. She acknowledges it. She sees it. Sebastian, just this very week, another poll came out that said news outlets whose audience is mostly left don't think by 2-to-1 margin it's worth telling two sides of a story.
Yeah.
News outlets whose audiences are mostly right said by 60-40, yes, you tell both sides of a story. The liberal media thinks there's only one side, and it is not the populist side, not the conservative side, not the Republican side, certainly not the Trump side, nor will it be the DeSantis side, the Kristi Noem side, the Ted Cruz side, the Tom Cotton side, whoever follows Donald Trump, whether it's in 24 or 28. They're going to do to them what they did to Trump because it's in their genes. Yeah. Until journalism gets a booster shot of independence, conservative thought, conservatives in the newsroom, people who think differently, aren't cut from the same cloth, journalism will continue to make the same mistakes.
And the word that's very interesting that you've highlighted on the cover of your new book is snobbery. Is that something that can be fixed with HR policies? I mean, isn't the challenge really a cult? When you disdain millions of people, it's very hard to fix that, isn't it?
Well, if I ran journalism schools that had a 24-to-nothing ratio of Democrats to Republicans, of Democrat voters to Republican voters, I would say in the interview process to an applicant, tell me about your hobbies. What do you like to do in your spare time? And if they said, I like to hunt, I like to go shoot, I like to fish, I might think that these people are the types of different voices I need in my newsroom. You can figure out a lot about people in an interview process. But they won't do that. Mm. I hope they will because they need that diversity of thought in the newsroom. But Sebastian, they care about gender diversity. They care about sexual orientation diversity. They care about racial diversity. The most powerful diversity of all is a diversity of the mind.
Yeah.
It's diversity of ideas, of thoughts. This is how you intellectually bring something to a bigger, richer, better life. This is how you shape ideas and have good debates. But when a newsroom is so lopsided, they can't possibly think that people could intelligently vote for Donald Trump.
I have to ask you, because you must have all your old connections. Is there anybody, you know, off record, behind the scenes, who tells, you know, who's working at CNN or New York Times or whatever, says, yeah, we've got a real problem, Ari, but yeah, I don't know what to do. Are there some normal people that you still talk to in the legacy media? I'm just curious.
I do. I hear that from reporters. I've actually gotten one real notable email as a result of my book with a reporter from the mainstream media telling me just that. I do think, and I say this in the book, there's a split between older reporters and younger generations of reporters. I think there still are a number of reporters who want to be objective, neutral, and down the middle. That's how they were raised to be journalists. That's how they tried to practice it. But this new generation, particularly of when it involves social issues or racial justice or social justice, as it's called, are pushing these old timers out because these newer reporters come in thinking the news should be subjective, that there's something inherently wrong with objectivity because there are not two sides to every issue. And so they only want to tell one. And of course, that is their determination of who is right and who is wrong, which is subjective in and of itself and biased. So I think there's a strain underway. One chapter in my book is called The Way It Was, and I kind of walk through the evolution of how journalism has changed. And I conclude, I think 30, 40 years ago, it was much more fulfilling to be a reporter. I think a lot of them lament what's happened to their industry now, but they can't stop it.
Yeah. The book is Suppression, Deception, Snobbery, and Bias, Why the Press Gets So Much Wrong and Just Doesn't Care, by our good friend Ari Fleischer, former White House press secretary. Dear friends, this is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating nigh on 500,000 Americans right now, me included. But it's not just me. It's people like Yvonne from California. This is Yvonne's story. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. Just those two words, pain-free, should be reason enough for you to order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Yvonne, and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of your fellow Americans. Don't wait any longer. You know it makes sense. You should be the next success story. That's ReliefFactor.com, 800-583-84. You deserve to know. What have you got to lose except, of course, the pain? Do it today. Call 800-583-84. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. So the obvious question, Ari, that I have for you is the corrective. I want everybody to get the book. The book is Suppression, Deception, Snobbery, and Bias, Why the Press Gets So Much Wrong and Just Doesn't Care. But what does it take to fix it? Because, look, I have a modest radio show. We've been on air for 3.5 years now. We have an audience in the millions, 3 million live listeners across the nation from California to New York. Then we've got the video streams, the podcasts, and everything else. And then I look at CNN, the one that you devoted a chapter to in the book, and I say, this is amazing. Now that President Trump has left the White House, on a good night, they get 400,000 viewers out of a nation of 320 million. And this is why I will never be invited back onto Anderson Cooper's show on air, on his show live. I said, look, I know it's embarrassing when more people are watching reruns of Scooby-Doo and Yogi Bear than CNN. But surely, and this isn't a criticism of you, should we not be giving them that much oxygen if they only have 300,000 viewers? Aren't they going to eventually collapse in on themselves, or are they just pet projects like the Washington Post is a vanity project of Bezos? Can you take us to the end point where there's some kind of resolution or a collapse?
I think the balkanization of news is bad for democracy. I know, and I am part of it, and I enjoy it. Conservative media is booming.
Yeah.
People increasingly want to hear a conservative voice. Liberal media is dying. But I still say to you, I don't think it's good for democracy. I would much rather have everybody in this country, myself included, be able to go to one source, be told what took place, what the fact, and then let me and the other people in this country figure out what it means. I want the reporters to tell me what happened, and then I will give you my opinion and my analysis. I don't want the press doing that for me. And I hear it all the time. People say, where can I go just to get the truth about what happened? So I do think it'd be better for our democracy if people were like that. And then we can go left, right, center. And it's up to the people. It's not up to the journalists to tell us what the right answer is.
But what do you think is going to happen? If you have 300,000 viewers, how long can you maintain that? Who's going to advertise with CNN when you've got, you know, a fraction of a conservative radio show host's audience?
And this is why it's fascinating. The new ownership at CNN is trying, they say. They're going to take CNN in a different direction, a more objective, neutral, return to basics direction. And I'm fascinated by this experiment. I'm, one, fascinated to see if they mean it. Two, who will they fire? And three, can they be successful as a business?
Right.
But we should all keep our eye on that. And I do believe it's important to democracy.
All right, I'm going to read from your book some of the things the mainstream media told us, and I want you to tell me which one was the most shocking or the most damaging to America. Donald Trump colluded with Russia. The Steele dossier is true. Church bells rang in Paris and fireworks were set off in London when Biden won the election. Russia secretly offered Afghan militants bounties to kill U.S. troops. Kim Jong-un is brain dead. This is a classic one. Melania Trump, I forgot this one, turned the Rose Garden into a neo-fascist parade ground. Or Nicholas Sandman was a murderous thug. Was a thug, and Kyle Rittenhouse was a white supremacist. Or the last one, COVID-19 could not possibly have originated in a bioweapons lab in China. I mean, that's quite a list to choose from, isn't it, Ari?
Amazingly, every single one of those was reported on the air as the truth by the press. There was Katie Turr, who you just showed a clip from of NBC, MSNBC, who said that Kim Jong-un was brain dead. He's brain alive. The one that I get the biggest kick out of is, and it shows how like-minded reporters are, when Joe Biden was declared the victor the Saturday after the Tuesday election, church bells did ring in Paris. Fireworks did go off in London. CNN, ABC, and NBC reported to their viewers it was an international celebration of Biden's win and Trump's loss. And you know what? It was the weekly call to mass in Paris of the church bells ringing. And it was a 500-year-old holiday in England called Bonfire Night, Guy Fawkes Day.
Guy Fawkes, you know, right.
The failed assassination attempt of King James I in 1605. They mark it with fireworks. None of this had anything to do with our election. But when you're a liberal reporter and everybody in your newsroom can't stand Trump and they're all celebrating that Trump is gone, you think the world looks like you do and thinks like you do. So you just put it on the air. And again, that's why I called my book Deception. That was deceptive reporting. And then when it was pointed out to them, no, it had nothing to do with the American election, they just kind of quietly went on to the next story, didn't correct it, didn't apologize. I mean, these reporters were a laughing stock in England. Everybody was laughing at them, thinking, how can you say this has anything to do with Biden?
Have you seen anything at a managerial level in the last 6 years, where I'm not talking about promises, like the publisher of the New York Times said, yes, we've got to fix things, but not promises, but in fact, any remedial measures that the legacy media has taken in the right direction? I'm curious. I'd like to see one.
Well, first and foremost, all these things were done because the management of the media companies pushed reporters to get Trump. I mean, that seems too blunt, but what they were saying is Donald Trump is a danger to democracy. And so if the news is anti-Trump, it gets a bump. We'll put it on the air, even if it's not true. But CNN, you do have to say CNN fired Jeff Zucker because of his lying to CNN and his support for Governor Cuomo, where he was giving advice to Andrew Cuomo for how Cuomo could survive the sexual assault allegations against him. So they fired their former head, Jeff Zucker, who really was the one pushing CNN to become activists. And now they say they'll go neutral. We'll see, for the reasons I discussed earlier. But that certainly is one.
Are you holding your breath on a CNN as a neutral platform, Ari? I'm sorry I'm laughing, but after the last 20 years, I have to laugh.
No, but I am hopeful. I'll never give up hope for it, because journalism has to change, Sebastian.
Yes.
It's just not good for all of us, left, right, or center. And, you know, the group that really is hurt the most by liberal bias, we conservatives have gotten so used to it, it can roll off our back, and we just know we have to work twice as hard.
Yeah.
But liberals, I mean, imagine being the liberal who just watched MSNBC and read the New York Times and was convinced for sure that Hillary was going to win. And then you wake up and she's not. Yeah. I mean, this will make you neurotic.
I know far too many of them. I know far too many of them. In fact, in my my wife's family as well. And I don't know how you function. If you only read CNN and watch CNN and read the New York Times, I truly do not know how you function in the real world. We're talking to Ari Fleischer. The book is Suppression, Deception, Snobbery, and Bias: Why the Press Gets So Much Wrong and Just Doesn't Care. Dear friends, the recent rulings out of the Supreme Court weren't just an accident. They didn't happen by themselves. They happened thanks to the advocacy and the support of great American organizations and companies like Patriot Mobile, America's only conservative cell phone company. They have been fighting for the right for life, donating hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're the good guys. I know Biden's inflation has made it very hard for many Americans. Thankfully, Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget. They have nationwide coverage, and you can switch today. Don't stay with the big guys that give money to Planned Parenthood or gun control organizations. Make the switch today. Join the great guys that love America like you do. Extra special discounts for veterans and first responders. Switch today. Call 972-PATRIOT. Use my name for free activation or just go to patriotmobile.com/GORKA. That's 972-PATRIOT, 972-728-7468. Join a company that is patriotic and conservative and loves America like you do. That's patriotmobile.com/GORKA. Thank you, everyone, for the kind comments. Yes, it is a new Dr. G. Thanks to Dr. Ashley Lucas and the amazing people at PhD Nutrition and Weight Loss. I have lost 34 pounds in less than 2 months. My muse, Katie, has lost 25 pounds. My colleague, Mike Gallagher, had to beat us, of course. He's lost 50 pounds. It's an amazing system. No stupid calorie counting. No starvation. They provide 80% of the food. You have a talk with your dietitian counselor every single week. Find out for yourself. It truly works. Call today. Book your first appointment. 864-644-1900. Or just go to myphdweightloss.com. For those of you watching on Rumble, look at this shirt. This is a custom-made shirt. It's like 3 inches too small now. I've had to punch four holes on my belts. That's 864-644-1900 or myphdweightloss.com. Okay, Ari, big question. Last question for you in the last few minutes we have with you. The book is Suppression, Deception, Snobbery, and Bias. Get it today from a man who has been in the arena, who is a straight shooter. Follow him on Twitter at Ari Fleischer. President Trump has made his decision. I know he's made his decision. He is running. The question is, when is he announcing? My hunch says, given what somebody said to me last week, he will announce before the midterms. What would your one piece of advice be to President Trump in terms of, if he wins, he's back in the White House, whoever his press secretary is, what should he do differently or what should he add? You can be Twitter, can be nicknames for his opponents. If Ari Fleischer had a magic wand and Donald Trump would listen to him, what would you say?
The most important thing, if he is reelected, is to recognize the independence of the Department of Justice. I know he wants to settle some scores. I know he has some things that he believes were wrong, but it's not good for the country if a president pushes the Department of Justice to make criminal decisions. It has to be blind. It cannot have White House interference or influence. Respect the independence of the Department of Justice.
And is that, I mean, that has to be in praxis, but is there a communications aspect to that? Does he have to say that, or is that already too defensive, or just act in accordance to that?
He'll get asked that in the course of the campaign, and
right.
He should say it.
Right.
And then he should govern by it, too. That's the most important in reality, that he governs by it. Look, his gut is so good. The things he did, the Abraham Accords, the destruction of ISIS, the tax cuts, the deregulation, the energy independence, the shutting down the southern border so you could come to this great country legally, not illegally. So much was so good. He just has to tone down some of those edges that sometimes make him go too far to avenge things that he says were wrong.
I'm curious. It's very interesting. He didn't mention the tweets. What a great piece of advice, and I'm sure President Trump will take it. Now, it's up to us, the MAGA listeners across the nation, to make it happen. The book is Suppression, Deception, Snobbery, and Bias, Why the Press Gets So Much Wrong and Just Doesn't Care. Get yours today. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.